I welcome everyone to Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra's Sunday Feast Festival. I thank very much Karnamrita Mataji and Gaurvani Prabhu for inspiring such devotion in the hearts of the Vaishnavas through their wonderful kirtan. This is the month of Kartik, the most sacred of all months of the year, according to the Vaishnav calendar. It is called Urjavrat, which means really the month where we take austerities for the pleasure and service of Sri Radharani. She is Urjeshwari. Radharani is the embodiment of all love. Just as every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna, the natural love within the heart of every living entity is part and parcel of the supreme love of Sri Radharani, who is none different than Krishna, his pleasure potency. So this month is a special opportunity to receive the special mercy of Sri Radhika. Those who observe special spiritual disciplines, in fact, any spiritual activities that is sincerely performed in this month, has very great benefits. In Vrindavan, millions of people come during this particular time of the year for darshans, for kathas, for parikramas. It is also called the month of Damodar. Amongst the many pastimes that took place during Kartik, the pastime of Yashodamai binding Krishna with the rope of her love is very special. Kartik begins with Sarat Purnima, which is the night when Krishna first had his Ras Lila with gopis. On bank of Jamuna, standing under Bamsiba tree, he played the fifth note of his flute and attracted the heart's love of all the Braj gopis who renounced everything of this world to satisfy Krishna. And yesterday, Govardhan Puja was celebrated. This is another great festival of the month of Kartik, the day that Krishna showed how he always protects his devotees. He protected the Brijavasis by lifting Govardhan Hill and saving them from the great rain of devastation sent by Indra. But he also protected Indra by smashing his pride into powder. Hare Krishna. Because Indra's devotee, Lord Sri Krishna told Indra, it is because of my love for you I have done this. I cannot tolerate false pride in the heart of my devotee. Therefore, my special mercy is I crush it by some means or other. And according to a particular devotee's conditioning, Krishna has different ways of smashing pride. Sometimes just by hearing from Guru, Prabhupada, just by his words, they were like thunderbolts that crushed our false ego. Sometimes when we chant the holy name of the Lord, the holy name of the Lord crushes our pride. But of course, if we are receptive to the message of the sadhus, the scriptures, and Harinam, then that is the most effective way. But if we are too much resisting, then sometimes Krishna orchestrates situations in our life to somehow or other smash our pride. Because ultimately our business is to become purified and become unconditional, unreserved devotees of the Lord. That is the singular purpose of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sampradaya, to give unconditional, pure love for Krishna, for Sri Radha, and for all living entities. That is the special gift he came to give the world. Sub-religious principles are already there in so many religions. But entrance into the highest realm of Braj Bhakti, which is completely pure of any selfish desire, ecstatic love, is the purpose of Lord Chaitanya. And it is what Srila Prabhupada has personally come to give us in the world. So a devotee who comes in this line but maintains a sense of false ego is cheating oneself. So whatever means, sometimes when you have a tumor, you have to get surgery. Surgery is very painful. Yes, however much anesthesia, still it's painful. But it's required. So depending on our stubbornness of how we're willing to hold on to our attachments and our egoistic conceptions, sometimes Krishna performs very, very nice surgeries upon us through the occurrences that come in our life. And if it's exactly what you want, then it must not be touching the false ego. The more it hurts, the more it's actually reaching its target. Does that make sense? So Krishna showed how he protects and loves his devotee like Indra, by smashing his pride, by ruining his reputation, and by actually invoking through the process total surrender. Also in the month of Kartik is Gopastami. Wonderful festival. Have any of you ever been to Nandagaon for Gopastami? Nandagaon is the place that Nanda Maharaj had his beautiful palace on top of the Nandeshwar mountain. And for the later years of Krishna's Kaishor Leela, he lived in that place of Nandeshwar. And actually that is where Krishna was given care, Poganda Leela actually, where Krishna was given care of cows. And the first day Krishna went out with cows is Gopastami. It's a beautiful story. Yashoda Mai actually bought Krishna nice shoes for that occasion. And because she was so much suffering, thinking that Krishna's feet are so soft, that it was intolerable for her to even think that he may step on a pebble. The slightest pebble would turn the color of his beautiful lotus-like pink feet, soles. What to speak if he stepped on a thorn? So she personally made nice shoes for him. But Krishna said that I'm a cowherd boy. I'm Gopal, protecting cows. I'm the servant of the cows. The servant cannot have something that the master does not have. So if you want me to wear shoes, then you have to personally make shoes for all my cows. And he was given charge of 900,000 cows. And the problem is, they don't have 2 feet like us. So that's 900,000 times four. That's almost 4 million shoes she would have to make. So in this way, he was always barefoot. For the pleasure of this Brajraj, it was the greatest ornament of Vrindavan is Krishna's footprints with all of their auspicious markings. So that Gopastami celebration is very nicely performed in Nandagaon, where they have little children enacting Krishna's leelas, and they go singing different bhajans in the various places where Krishna would go with his cows each day. Diwali is another great festival, the festival of lights. And according to our acharyas, it was on the day of Diwali that Krishna performed his Damodar Leela. Would you like to hear some description? I actually feel very ashamed to speak before my senior godbrother, Rupa Vilas Prabhu. Does everyone know Rupa Vilas Prabhu? Please stand up. Please stand up. Rupa Vilas Prabhu lived in Vrindavan many years, serving Srila Prabhupada very faithfully. He's one of the very great scholars of our movement. We all read his books. He wrote the Seventh Goswami, describing the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he wrote the Ray of Vishnu, describing very comprehensively the life of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and many other wonderful contributions he has made to our sampradaya. Now he's living in the holy place of Tallahassee. Haribol. Thank you for coming, Rupa Vilasji. When Krishna appeared to Nanda and Yashoda on the day of Janamastami, Nandotsav, although he is the supreme source of everything that exists, the all-powerful creator, maintainer, and destroyer of all universes, and ultimately the Lord of all the great Vaikuntha planets of the spiritual world, he appeared like a very helpless, ordinary baby child, Gopal. And to those who loved him, Yashoda Mai, she considered him so utterly helpless and depending on her. He appeared in this way just to attract this spontaneous, unconditional love from his devotees. But Srila Prabhupada explains that God is always God. When he was only a matter of a few days old, the great Rakshashi Putana entered into Gokul Mahavan. And you know, she was actually 12 miles long. Have you ever seen a Mataji like that? And she had fangs like a vampire. In fact, her diet was the blood and flesh of babies. Hare Krishna. She killed thousands of babies. She would eat them and drink their blood. That was her sense gratification. So she was very cruel, very wicked, and very powerful. But you know the story. Krishna was just born. He was an infant, only a couple days old. And he sucked the very life out of Putana. And then when he was only about 3 months old, he hadn't even learned to walk yet. There's a festival, actually in Vedic culture, there's a festival for so many things to show your love for the child and to bring benedictions and blessings upon the child. Any excuse, somehow or other, feed the Brahmins, have kirtan, distribute prasad, and get blessings for your child. That's Vedic culture. Every samskara, every stage in the child's life, there's some celebration where everyone comes together. So one of them is when the child first starts to lean up and sit on a slant. So there's a great festival for that. And they call the Brahmins and they give prasad and they give in charity and there's kirtans and dancing and everything. So there was this nice festival. And Yashoda Mai was holding Krishna, and she put him down under cart. But that cart was actually Shakatasura, who was a demon, who was actually a ghost, a Rakshasa ghost. Hare Krishna, very dangerous. But Gopal knew. He didn't even know how to walk yet. He just, with his little soft lotus foot, just kicked that wheel of the car. The demon died. Shri Bhagavan Ki Jai. And during the time of his first birthday, Yashoda Mai felt Krishna to be heavier than a mountain. So she put him down. And Trinavarta, who was one of Kamsa's colleagues, he came in the form of a whirlwind. Now recently, what was that hurricane that was coming?
Isabel.
Hurricane Isabel, how much concern and fear she caused to people in the East Coast. And a few years ago in Puerto Rico, Hurricane George?
George.
You know, whether they're male or female, there's no discrimination. Hurricane George just devastated Puerto Rico. Took the roof off the temple.
There's no temple there.
That's because you weren't there to protect it. So these are just mundane Kali Yuga hurricanes. Now Trinavarta was a demon in the form of a hurricane. Can you imagine the power? Put all his energy to pick up Krishna and lift him higher and higher. Krishna was lighter. He was heavier than a mountain to Yashoda because he wanted to be put down. But to Trinavarta, he was light as a feather. So he could bring him up, 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 effortlessly up, up into outer space. And then he became heavy as a universe. You see, you can't get away with anything with Krishna. Krishna will give us, like a fisherman, you know, he'll give us line. But ultimately that line is just to catch us. We have seen devotees want to cheat on Krishna. And Krishna lets them, yes, you can cheat, you can cheat, you can cheat, you can cheat, you can cheat. Then you come crashing down. So Trinavarta took Krishna so high into outer space, and then he became so heavy. Very well, Prabhu. Very nice. Became so heavy. Trinavarta was trying to push him off, and Krishna just clung to his neck and actually squeezed his neck and choked him. Krishna was only this big. And Trinavarta was a hurricane. He choked him. His eyes popped out and he fell down and scattered to the ground. So Krishna's always God. Prabhupada would sometimes say that some types of impersonalists say that if you perform this meditation, you will become God. But God never becomes God. Either you're God or you're not God. And obviously, you're not God. One time in one of our temples, I was giving a class. It was a small preaching center in Ohio. I was giving a class and a student came up and said, "I am God, I am God." I said, "Oh, you know, I'll please accept my obeisances. Just sit down, please." He said, "No, I am God, I am God." I said, "You're not God." He said, "I am God. You cannot prove that I'm not God." So I tried to prove philosophically, but he didn't listen to anything. So a little later in the lecture, he asked, "Where is the bathroom?" I said, "Bathroom is locked." And then I did something that was creative. Locked all the doors of the house from the outside so he could not escape. And the bathroom was locked. And as time went on, nature was calling very loudly. Time progressed, nature was screaming. And he actually started howling. "Let me use your bathroom, let me use your bathroom." So I said, "You say that you're God.
God is the controller of all universes. He is the controller of everything that exists. He is Sarveshwareshwaram. He is the controller of all controllers, and you cannot even control your bowels. And you dare to call yourself God? When you admit that you're not God, then I will open the bathroom for you. Believe it or not, he admitted it. He said, I'm not God, I'm not God. Just open the... So sometimes Prabhupada said we have to preach according to time, place, and circumstance to somehow influence people. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but yet he is appearing as the most helpless, beautiful child just to attract the intimate love of the heart of his devotees. When he would sit on the lap of Yashoda and Balaramji would be in the lap of Rohini, they would go to give them the milk of their breast. And the children would smile. And as they would be smiling with great happiness, the mothers would count the teeth as they were coming in. And Gopal would crawl. It is described by Sukadeva Goswami that when Krishna and Balaram would crawl on the ground, they looked just like two serpents. They crawled so nicely. And where would they crawl? They would crawl in the dust of Braja, which was mixed with the cow dung and cow urine. And their bodies would be covered with cow dung and cow urine as they would be slithering around like little serpents. And the mothers would pick them up and laugh and smile and bathe them. Sometimes they would see little calves, and unexpectedly they'd grab the tail of the calf. And the calf would become so much afraid, would run, and Krishna and Balaram would hold on. And they would be dragging them through the mud and the cow dung and the cow urine of Brajbhumi. And the neighboring gopis would be laughing and smiling, enjoying this beautiful sight. Sometimes Krishna and Balaram would follow a particular gopi, thinking that they were their mothers. And they'd be just crawling, 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 trying to catch up to this gopi, thinking this is Yashoda and Rohini. And then when they'd get to the gopi, the gopi would turn around and they'd see it's a different gopi, and they'd become so much afraid they'd turn around and crawl, 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 crawl the opposite direction. And Yashoda and Rohini would pick them up. Oh, our children are afraid. Let us give them shelter. So the crawling pastimes of Krishna are unlimited. Soon they started to just learn how to walk. Nanda Maharaj would hold Krishna with his little finger like this. He would walk and Krishna would hold on to it. And he would be walking, actually very difficult step by step, he would be trying to walk. And then Nanda Maharaj would pick up his finger and Krishna would fall down. After some days, Krishna and Balaram learned how to walk. It was at that time they began their pastimes of stealing butter. How they would steal butter. Krishna became known as Makanchor, the butter thief, Navanita Taskara. He was very, very fond of stealing butter. There are unlimited pastimes describing this. One time, Gopal went into the room of Yashoda where she kept her butter stored. And in a clay pot, there was a big pot of freshly churned yogurt that had become soft, sweet butter. Krishna stuck his hand in and started eating it. But then he noticed that just behind him there was a bejeweled pillar. And in the pillar he saw the reflection of himself. The jewels were like mirrors. And he became very much afraid. He said, "My dear friend, my dear brother, please do not tell my mother that I'm stealing butter." He was talking to the reflection. He said, "Please, my brother, if you don't tell your mother, I will share this butter with you. It's very good butter. It's very sweet butter. To your heart's content, I will give you." Meanwhile, Yashoda Mai was watching from a hidden place this whole wonderful pastime, and she was smiling very nicely. And then she came out and approached Krishna, and Krishna became very much afraid. He said, "I'm not stealing butter. I'm not stealing butter. But there's butter spilled all over the place." He said, "I didn't steal it." He pointed to the pillar. "He stole it. He came in. I told him not to. I told him you should not be greedy for butter. This is not the right way to live. My mother will be very angry with you. I tried to stop him, but he wouldn't listen to me. So I got angry with him, and then he became angry with me. My dear mother, I'm not greedy for butter. He's greedy for butter." On another occasion, Yashoda Mai was outside, and Krishna had his hand right in the butter, and she came in. He said, "I'm not stealing butter. I'm not stealing butter." She said, then why is your hand in the butter? He said, "Because you put bracelets on me, which were bedecked with rubies. And the dazzling effulgence of this rubies is so hot that it's burnt my hand like fire. So I stuck it in the butter just to get relief from the burning sensation." And Yashoda Mai took Krishna's hand, and she was just so pleased that he was so clever. She said, "My dear Gopal, dear Kanaya, your hand is burnt. I will immediately take off these ruby bangles." And then she began to kiss his hands to make him feel better. One time, should I continue?
Yes.
He entered into one gopi's house. This was actually one of his aunties, one of the wives of Nanda Maharaj's older brother. So she saw him, and she ran after him, and he tried to get away, but she caught him right in the middle of stealing butter from her house. So she said, "I'm going to bring you to Yashoda, and I'm going to tell her what you have done." And Krishna was very afraid. Very much he was shaking. He said, no, I promise I will not do it again. Just let me go. Just let me. Don't tell my mother. I promise I won't do it again. Don't tell my mother." He said, "No, I'm taking you to mother. You come with me." She took him by the hand and dragged him. He said, "I warn you, you shouldn't do this." But she did not heed his warning. So she brought this little child before Yashoda Mai and lodged the whole complaint. "You know what your child has done? He was breaking my butter pots. He was stealing the butter. He was feeding it to monkeys. And I have him here. I caught him red-handed. Just look." And Yashoda Mai looked. And she said, "That is not my son." And the gopi looked, and she saw in her hand was her own son. She was completely disoriented, shocked. She was utterly confused. She didn't know what to do or what to say or what to think. She just turned around and took her son and walked off. As they went outside of the house and they were walking down the road, she heard a voice from her son that said, "Don't ever do that again." And she looked back, and it was Krishna. And then Krishna said, "If you ever tell Yashoda Mai on me again, next time I will become your husband." And then you will be very much embarrassed. Srila Prabhupada explains in Krishna book how gopis would come to complain about Krishna and Balaram to Yashoda and Rohini. And one day the gopis came and they began to lodge so many complaints. They said, "Your child, you know what he does? In the early, early morning, before we milk the cows, Krishna releases all the calves. So they drink all the milk of the cows. Then our husbands go to milk the cows and there's nothing there. They return home with empty buckets." But that's not all they do. Every day they enter into our house to steal our butter. Sometimes they break the pots. They feed it to monkeys. They feed it to the gopas. When we keep it hanging from ropes from the ceilings, they pile various tables and grinding mortars. Sometimes they get on each other's shoulders to somehow or other reach it. And if they still cannot reach it, they will take a stick and poke the bottom till all the butter comes out. Then they will eat it to their full satisfaction. They will feed it. He will feed it to his friends, the gopas. Then he will feed it to all the neighborhood monkeys. And when the monkeys are completely filled with their bellies with butter, then Gopal will throw the remainder of the butter on the floor and on the walls and say, "This butter is so useless, even the monkeys will not eat it." And if we hide the butter so well that they cannot find it, then they will pinch our sleeping babies and make them cry. Or even worse than that, they may pour water in their ears of our sleeping babies. If they can't find the butter, sometimes in a dark room, they will pass urine on our floor. Now, this is a very philosophical concept. Krishna passing urine on floor. I have a question I want you to all honestly at least try to answer in your own hearts. How many times have you passed urine in your life? Can anyone approximate? Do you care? Does anybody care? That's because we're jivatmas. But the Paramatma, Krishna, he passed urine once, 5,000 years ago, and we're still talking about it. Not only talking about it, but deriving great bliss hearing about it. That is Krishna. He's all attractive in everything he does to the hearts of his devotees. And they explain that sometimes it's very dark, but your children, because of the jewelry that they wear, it seems to illuminate all directions and they still find the butter. So Yashoda Mai said, "I will take off the jewelry." "No, no, 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 don't take off the jewelry. Because your children are not ordinary, just their bodies seem to emanate light." Now look at your child. Even though he performs all these naughty activities, he looks so innocent. And Yashoda Mai would look at Krishna, and upon seeing his face, which had crocodile tears and eyes, and he was trembling a little in fear and embarrassment, Yashoda Mai just could not get angry upon him. But actually, the gopis, their whole purpose of life was hoping that Krishna would come to their home to steal their butter. That's the only reason they made butter. And they would make it with so much love and so much devotion. They would be singing the pastimes and glories of Krishna constantly with love from their hearts as they'd be preparing that butter, with the prayer and the hope that Gopal will come to steal our butter. It was their life and soul. Sometimes the gopis would complain that when they catch Krishna, Krishna would say, I am not a thief, you are a thief. Because everything belongs to Krishna. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna declares, everything in all planets of all universes is my property. So how can he steal what belongs to him? If we consider anything belonging to us, we are thieves. So Krishna is simply reclaiming his property, but doing it in such a sweet, innocent, and attractive way that it attracts the love of the hearts of anyone who hears it. Similarly, when our hard hearts are churned through the process of bhakti, the nine process of devotional service is the process of churning the heart, hearing the glories of the Lord, chanting the holy names of the Lord, makes the heart very, very soft. When the heart becomes soft as sweet butter, then Hari will steal our hearts. That is the perfection of all of our ideals in life. On the day of Diwali, Yashoda Mai woke very early in the morning. She was thinking, Diwali was actually yesterday, yes? Huh? So it is auspicious to discuss this pastime. But at New Vrindavan, it might even be today, because New Vrindavan is always different than everywhere else. Do you know, in days of yore, New Vrindavan had its own time zone? We had a different time than Wheeling, West Virginia, or even Moundsville. Do you remember it, Adita Prabhu? We would have our own time zone. But thank Krishna that those days are gone. It was very complicated. You go to catch a plane in Pittsburgh and you realize it left an hour before. You say, but it's only 6 o'clock. He said, no, it's 7 o'clock. Oh, that's right, that's right. So on the day of Diwali, yes, Kulaji Prabhu, you were one of the people who enforced those times. Huh? Yes, Krishna says, time I am. Radha Vrindavan Chandra are beyond time. So on the morning of Diwali, Yashoda Mai was thinking that my naughty Gopal, he's always going to all other gopis' houses to steal butter. That means that my butter must not be satisfying to him. So she decided to churn the butter herself and put all the love of her heart into that churning process. Now when Yashoda Mai churned butter, it was not ordinary butter. 900,000 cows were in Nanda Maharaj's herd. And of them, there was only about 8 that were called Padmaganda cows. These were the choicest, topmost cows of the whole herd. Yashoda Mai would personally grow grasses for those cows, water the grass with milk. And it was a special type of grass that was fragrant like lotus. It was so sweet, so delicious, and it made the best possible fragrant ambrosial milk. So it was that Padmaganda cow milk that she was churning. As she was churning, she was singing beautiful songs about Lord Krishna. Because this is what Brijabasi means. Always eager to hear and chant the glories of Krishna. This is actual Vaishnav culture. Krishna would perform his leelas the day before. And when the cowherd boys would come back from the pasture grounds and tell all the gopas and gopis about what Krishna did that day, then the next day everyone would be composing songs and poetry, just singing to themselves and to others about Krishna's pastimes the day before and the day before that. This was their life. Because in hearing about Krishna, we are united with Krishna within the core of our hearts. So Yashoda Mai was singing beautiful, beautiful songs with just a sweet, loving voice as she was churning the butter with the rope on the churning rod in a clay pot. She was churning yogurt into butter. And she had bangles. As she was singing, the bangles were going to bring instrumentation to her kirtan. Because actually in the spiritual world, nothing is inanimate. Everything is personal. The bangles wanted to join the kirtan of Yashoda Mai by providing instrumentation. Yashoda Mai was dressed in a beautiful yellow sari. And she was churning with such enthusiasm that her sari was loosened. She was expressing such pure, unalloyed parental love. In her hair were beautiful malati flowers. Those flowers, seeing Yashoda Mai's devotion, began to meditate that she has such love for Krishna. What are we doing on top of her head? We should be falling at her feet. And with this spirit, the malati flowers jumped off of her hair and fell to her feet. But it appeared that it was because of her churning that the flowers were falling. Remembering Gopal, the milk of her motherly love began to flow from her breast. Now at this time, Gopal was resting in his bed. When Yashoda Mai's milk began to flow, he became very, very hungry for that milk. This is a very, very important principle. It is the essence of spiritual life. Krishna's Atmaram. Atmaram means he's completely self-satisfied. He is Yogeshwar. He's the master of all yogis. We have seen in our previous days as a sadhu in Himalayas, yogis who do not eat anything, who do not drink anything, they actually nourish their body by the mystic power of extracting nourishment from the air, from the ether. I have seen men who hadn't eaten anything in years, and they're not even thin. In fact, they were kind of fatty. Just because they knew how to get the proper nourishment from the ether, from the subtle elements of the air. So Krishna's Yogeshwar. He's empowering the yogis. Does he need to eat? And even if he does need to eat, in the heavenly planets, there's millions of Lakshmis cooking for him. But Krishna actually hungers. He hungers and thirsts for the love of his devotee. So he came running to the scene where Yashoda Mai was churning butter. And he grabbed her by her sari and pulled. And in so many ways he said, please feed me your milk. And Yashoda Mai, she kept churning. So Krishna became very, very assertive. With his small little lotus hand, he grabbed on to the churning rod and said, no more churning. I am the priority. Feed me now. He didn't say it, but that's what it meant. Then he just crawled right up on Yashoda Mai's body, and she sat down, and very, very lovingly she began to feed him her
nectarine ambrosial milk of her love. Krishna was drinking that milk.
Now, according to the commentaries of some of our acharyas, Yasoda Mai was cooking breakfast for Krishna simultaneously.
She had Padmaganda milk on the stove. She was going to make sweets for Krishna.
Haribo. Now, the Padmaganda milk was on top of the fire. The milk was thinking that her life and soul is only to be accepted by Krishna. If Krishna does not accept our life, we have no reason to live. And now Krishna's drinking Yashoda Mai's milk, and her love is so far beyond anyone's. Her love is unlimited. That means her milk will be unlimited. Therefore, Krishna will for the rest of eternity just drink her milk, and therefore he'll never look at us. So what is the use of our life?
Better we end our lives by entering fire. So they jumped out of the pot into the fire. It appeared that the milk was boiling over.
So Yashoda Mai put down Krishna and ran to save that milk, which was for Krishna. But Gopal wanted to prove that there is no priority that anyone should make at any time in life above pleasing him. So he decided to do mischief. He broke the clay pot that she was churning the yogurt. And after the pot broke and the yogurt went on the floor, he went into the next room. And there he saw a wooden grinding mortar for grinding spices. He turned it upside down, crawled on top of it, and approached the clay pot of butter hanging from the ceiling by rope. He broke that pot and ate the butter. Then he called the neighborhood monkeys, and the monkeys were very, very happy. This was what they waited for their whole life, when Krishna would call them to feed them with his own hands the butter made by Yashoda Mai. How many of you would like to be a monkey in Vrindavan? I worship the lotus feet of those monkeys. Krishna was personally serving them. He was feeding them with his own hand. And they were so happily eating the butter more, more, more. Meanwhile, Yashoda Mai came back to feed Krishna her milk, and she saw he was gone. Not only that, but the butter pot was broken. How to find Krishna? That was her only obsession, how to find Gopal. Now, Yashoda Mai was very expert. She was the original detective. She saw little tiny butter footprints and began to follow them into the next room. And there she saw little Gopal sitting on the grinding mortar, laughing and smiling and feeding the butter to the monkeys. But all the while he was looking this way and that way. His eyes were constantly roaming, seeing whether his mother was coming. She picked up a small stick and approached Krishna from behind. The monkeys saw her coming and started jumping out the windows. And the small gopa friends of Krishna saw her coming, and they started running and screaming. And Krishna was wondering, what's that? Why is everybody leaving? And then he turned around, and right behind him was his mother. He jumped off the grinding mortar and ran, and she ran after him, and he ran, and she ran, and he ran, and she ran, and he ran, and she ran. Now, as she was running after Krishna, her dress was loosening, she was perspiring, and the malika and malati flowers that were decorating her hair and other parts of her body, they began to contemplate what was happening. Now, there's different commentaries in this respect, but in essence, there were two classes of flowers. One class was on Krishna's side, and the other was on Yashoda's side. Now, those on Krishna's side, they were thinking that she has a stick in her hand. She's going to punish Gopal, our Lord, our friend. If I'm on Yashoda's body when she punishes Gopal, then I'm a conspirator of this crime. I'll have no part of this. So they went on strike, and they jumped off. It appeared that because she was running, they were falling, but they were jumping off. And those flowers that were on Yashodamai's side, they were thinking, she's running as fast as she could. She's working so hard, but she can't catch Gopal. Maybe it's because of the excess weight of us on her body that she can't catch them. So if we jump off, it will reduce the burden. It will help her catch Gopal. So they jumped off onto the ground. Who could catch Krishna? Krishna is faster than the speed of mind. He's unapproachable, even by the greatest demigods, even by the greatest rishis. But because of Yashodamai's pure, unalloyed, motherly love, Krishna allowed himself to be caught by her. When Yashodamai caught Krishna, Krishna began to cry. Tears just flowed from his beautiful lotus-like eyes. It mixed with the black cudgel or mascara, and streaks of nectarine black streamed down his entire body. His lips, which were red like the bimba fruit, were trembling. His heart was beating very fast. His breathing was very quick. His limbs were trembling. With his lotus hands, he was trying to wipe the tears from his eyes. And he said to Yashodamai, I did it, I did it. Please put down the stick. Please don't punish me. I did it, I admit. I stole the butter. Please, please, don't hurt me. Queen Kunti, in her prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam, she remembers this scene. Krishna is feared by fear personified, but he's afraid of Yashoda. Yashoda was just a simple Brijabasi mother, a cowherd girl. Now let us take Arjuna, most powerful warrior of the world, fearless. When Krishna manifested, just an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of himself in the form of Virat Rupa, universal form, Arjuna was trembling in fear. With folded hands, he was offering prayers. And ultimately, he begged Krishna, take away this form. I want to see you in your two-armed form again. The Virat Rupa declared, time I am, devouring everything. Krishna is time. He's the all-devouring agent that takes everything away from everyone in this creation. Krishna says in Gita, I am death personified. How many people do you know are afraid of death? Even if people don't admit it deep down in their hearts. Krishna is death personified. Even Hiranyakashipu, just by his raising one eyebrow, all the demigods would tremble in fear. Now I see some of you raising your eyebrows. Now who's trembling in fear? Who cares? Can you imagine the power of Hiranyakashipu? Just one, just... And Indra, Vayu, Agnidev, Surya, they're all, yes, Master, what would you like? That was his power. But when Hiranyakashipu came face to face with just a plenary portion of an expansion of Gopal, Narasingha Dev, He was terrified. Now here is the source of Narsingadev, the source of the Virat Rupa, the source of time. And he's trembling in fear, weeping and crying tears in fear of Mother Yashoda. This is Kunti's meditation. How wonderful is Krishna. The power of how he is conquered by the love of his pure devotees. So Yashoda Mai saw Krishna was very much afraid, so she threw the stick away. And then she decided that she must perform her duties to Lord Gopal. But Gopal was in such a mischievous mood that day. Who knows what dangers he will be in? Actually, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, Yashoda Mai and Rohini Devi were always in anxiety about Gopal. They were afraid that when he was outside, he might step on a thorn, or he might step on a stone, or he might be hurt by the claws of the monkeys or the teeth of the cats and the dogs, or he might be hurt by the horns of the cows and the bulls. So they were always in anxiety, worrying about Krishna's welfare. This is the spiritual world. What is the name of spiritual world? Vaikuntha, the place of no anxiety. But when we read about Goloka, everyone's in anxiety. Rupa Vilas, what is this apparent contradiction? This world is Kunta. It is a place of anxiety. But when you go beyond material world, you enter into the Brahman, Mukti, Brahmajyoti, where there's no duality. Therefore, there's no anxiety whatsoever. Om Shanti, 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 Om. Nothing but peace. That is Brahman. But above Brahman, in the Paravyoma, are the planets called Vaikuntha, the places where there is no anxiety. And the highest of all the planets of Vaikuntha is Krishna Loka. And the most elevated neighborhood of Krishna Loka is Goloka. And there we find Yashoda and Rohini in anxiety. And when Krishna leaves gopis, they're in anxiety. This is where we want to go. In fact, Prabhupada explained that in this world, there's only one person that's not in anxiety. That person is the person that is dead. When you're dead, at least for a few moments, there's no anxiety. Until Yamaraj comes with his Yamadutas. We heard that from Vakreshwar Pandit Prabhu this morning. And he gave such a fantastic class this morning. It was incredible. He gave us the most bird's eye view of the hellish planets. But his philosophical principle of how honest and sincere and humble a devotee must become, and his magnificent glorification of Srila Prabhupada really melted all of our hearts. We are eternally indebted to you, Bhakreshwar Pandit, for sharing that wonderful love for Prabhupada with all of us. Gives us something to aspire to follow. Oh, Prabhupada said the only person in this world who is not in anxiety is the person who's dead. Because life means anxiety. Does everyone agree with that?
Yes.
There's always some anxiety. Just like babies talking in class and all these things. So Prabhupada explains in this way that he taught his disciples that the highest spiritual bliss is to be anxiety for Krishna. One sannyasi went to Vrindavan, and he was thinking he was just going to be like everyone else in Vrindavan, just Radhe Radhe, Radhe Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. And he was in charge of buying the materials for building Krishna Balaram temple. And for those of you who know what buying things is like in India, especially in outlying places like Vrindavan, everyone's trying to cheat you at every moment. Yes? And he was just constantly being battling against cheaters and negotiating, and somehow or other the workers would go on strike and hold up the construction, and he was in anxiety. And he said to Prabhupada, I'm a sannyasi. I just want to say Radhe Radhe like everybody else in Vrindavan. Prabhupada told him that this anxiety is spiritual ecstasy. To be anxiety for Krishna is a great, great benediction. To have the chance to be in anxiety for Krishna is something that has taken millions of lives to achieve. It's such a blessing. Because in anxiety, you're absorbed. Yes? Aren't you more absorbed in anxiety than you are when you're just eating some gulab jamun or something? It consumes you. Anxiety consumes you. So anxiety for Krishna, it consumes you with what? The remembrance of Krishna. The desire to serve Krishna. In Yashoda and Rohini's case, it just consumed them with their love to protect Krishna. Therefore, their anxiety is the ultimate ecstasy. And therefore, devotees are very happy and grateful to accept any anxiety in the discharge of their devotional service to Sri Guru and Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra. And when we learn this nicely, then we can feel great happiness when we chant the holy names of the Lord. I can tell that many of you are in anxiety because I'm speaking too long. And this sumptuous Sunday feast is waiting for you. And the only thing between you and the Sunday feast is my class. But with this philosophy, I'm trying to justify your anxiety to continue my class. Because actually, I'm just starting the class now. Right? The introduction is officially complete. Makanlal Prabhu, my dear senior godbrother, when I was just a little boy milking cows at New Vrindavan, I would hear about him. He was the temple president of St. Louis. It was one of the most dynamic temples in America. He was like a legend, a hero. I never met him. I would just hear his glories and worship his service. But he knows what it is to taste the nectar of spiritual anxiety. Yes? And what to speak of Kuladri Prabhu, being the president of New Vrindavan? That is a very excessive overdose of mercy. And Malati Mataji, her service to Prabhupada in the most outrageously impossible circumstances. And Jai Shri Mataji, Haribo, raising her three sons. And investing within them such genuine, nice devotion. It must have taken a lot of motherly anxieties. So we should welcome this. So Yashoda Mai was in anxiety for Krishna because of her pure love. So she decided she would tie up Krishna to the grinding mortar
which was his accomplice in stealing butter.
So she took rope, the rope that was used to tie the calves. She became like the cow, and Krishna was like her little calf that she was going to tie up. Now, this rope was also used to tie the rear legs of the cows when you milk them. Have all of you read this in Prabhupada's Krishna book? Would you like to hear a diversion from the main story? It's a story of New Vrindavan. Nobody knows what to expect. Because I know many of you have read about stories of New Vrindavan in magazines and newspapers over the years. There's variegated stories. But back in the early 70s, 72, this was 1972, I was living at that old Vrindavan farm. And my service was milking cows. Now, just previous to this, I was milking cows at Pahulabang. And we had about 15 cows we were milking down there. And I used to go there, and it was the winter time. I used to feed them water in the night, and then early morning we would feed them again and then milk them. So one morning I came in, and I was very surprised. I happened to see that the wall of the barn was painted black and white. I was there the night before. It was just whitewashed. Who could have possibly painted it in the middle of the night? Plus, New Vrindavan never even had paint in those days. So I was confused. So I was just looking at the wall, wondering, who painted this wall? Then I saw the wall was moving back and forth. And then I became suspicious. And I started looking at it, and I saw that the wall had a head. It was actually a cow. The biggest cow I had ever seen in my life, to this day, was a huge cow, gigantic cow. Her name was Himavati. Somehow or other, she was brought in the middle of the night. She gave so much milk. I'm not exaggerating. I know sometimes you think I exaggerate. But at least this time I'm not exaggerating. Himavati was giving 140 pounds of milk a day. Do you remember Kalaji Prabhu? Am I exaggerating? Kalaji Prabhu and I would milk her together. Kalaji is my witness. Can you tell about the lotus flowers?
Anytime a guest would come to New Vrindavan, we'd talk about how special these cows were, the Brahman Ramachandra's cows. And some of our special cows manifest in special symbols. Like Krishna, when he was born, he has these symbols on his palms and his feet. Some of our cows would be in love and have a special lotus flower on their udder. So you're all welcome.
Now I will tell them how we show the lotus flower. We would be in the middle of milking them. They'd come during milking time, and we turned the cow's outlet toward, and we'd say, "You have to look very, you see right at the tip there's a lotus flower." "I don't see." "So you have to look closer, you have to look closer." "I don't see." And then when they get really close, we go right into their eyes. Now, I'm not going to mention names. But one very, very powerful, fearful sannyasi, GBC, came, and he was wearing spectacles. And I was always milking every day, so he was looking for the lotus flower. And he was right up close. He says, I still don't see it. I said, Maharaj, you have to take your glasses off. And he believed me. He actually believed me. He took his glasses off. Now, there was another GBC, sannyasi, who I'm not going to mention names. He was so innocent and so simple that he came right up close and he just fell back and wiped his eyes and said, I didn't see the lotus flower. So he said, can I look again? I want to see it. I've heard all about this. So I said, yeah, sure, look again. And he said, I still didn't see the lotus flower. I said, Maharaj, there is no lotus flower. It's just a trick to squirt the milk in your eyes. He said, oh, okay, now I understand. So this Himavati, Kuladri and I would milk her we'd milk her three times a day, yes? Because she had so much milk. Her udder, her teats, they call it, they were about this big, weren't they? No exaggeration. You'd have to put your hands around them like this. And when you'd squeeze, it was a downpour. Yes, Kuladri? You'd squeeze and there'd be two. He was on one side and I was on the other, so all four were going at once. It was yes? Something like that. And it had such force it would be splashing in our face. And we'd have to have several buckets stand. As one would get full, we just... And they'd get full within a matter of minutes. Just change buckets. Now, the evidence of this is Srila Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan. And he came in during milking. And he was walking behind the cows. And he stood behind Himavati. He saw her milk bag. Kuladri Prabhu, they won't believe me, so show them with your hands how big her milk bag was. I will remain silent on that. Huge. It was supernatural. And Prabhupada looked at this milk bag. It was like this. And he was walking with his cane, you remember? And he wanted to see if it was actually real. And Prabhupada poked it with his cane. And as he poked it, he was so astonished to see this gigantic milk bag that his eyes just grew. Wide open eyes, and someone took a photo of him. And Prabhupada's very, very wide, amazed eyes as he's poking Himavati's milk bag. So, some years later, this is a couple years later, Himavati was sent up to Vrindavan. The reason is her... she was in the pastures and her udder got caught in some thorns. So when you milked her, she'd kick. And when she kicked, she kicked. And usually when cows kicks, they have two targets. Number one is the milk bucket to kick it over. And two is the cowherd boy who's milking them. So I was just daily, twice a day, just blocking these kicks. And I only weigh 115, 20 pounds, and she weighed tons. And I'm blocking her kicks. And one day I was reading Krishna book, because at night, we had a tradition. It was a very nice tradition, where everyone before taking rest would drink hot milk. New Vrindavan was skim milk. Hot milk, and someone would read Krishna book to everyone. Do you remember Makanlal Prabhu? That was tradition. Everyone was together, just in each other's company, so happily listening to Krishna's pastimes from Srila Prabhupada. And we would just take rest on some hard, cold floor, just very happily dreaming about Krishna's pastimes. So I heard one night how the cowherd boys, when they would go out into the pastures of Vrindavan, how they were decorated. They would decorate themselves with the minerals of Vrindavan. They would smear it around their bodies. And they would have feathers from birds and peacock feathers that they would decorate themselves with. And they would decorate their hairs with beautiful forest wild flowers and vines and creepers. And each cowherd boy had a buffalo horn, a flute, a stick, and over their shoulder was rope for tying the legs of cows. Should I continue? When I heard that, I was thinking, this is the solution. This is Guru Sadhu Shastra. Prabhupada is quoting from the Parampara, the scripture of Srimad Bhagavatam, the topmost literature. This is how they stop cows from kicking. They tie their back legs. Because Prabhupada said that. Prabhupada said they had these ropes on their shoulders because they tied the back legs of the cows for milking them. So I was so happy. The next morning, I just got a nice piece of rope and I just tied Himavati's back legs very gently, not so it was tight, but so, because to kick, you can only kick with one leg at a time. If the legs are tied together, you can't kick. That was my thought. I was right underneath her milking, thinking, no kicks, no kicks, no kicks. And one of her legs kept going like, but she couldn't move because it was tied to the other one. I was thinking, this is mind over matter. Human intelligence over the animals. And I was milking. And all of a sudden, Himavati kicked both of her legs back together. And when she kicked those legs back together, she fell right on top of me. I was helplessly trapped over this gigantic mountainous cow. And she couldn't get up because her legs were somewhere back. And I couldn't get out, and she couldn't get up, and I couldn't get out, and she couldn't. I will tell you the lesson I learned from this experience. You cannot imitate the residents of Vrindavan. This is the warning of the acharyas. You cannot imitate the residents of Vrindavan. This is called sahajya. We must follow in their footsteps under the guidance of our spiritual master. So Yashoda Mai took that rope And she tied it around the grinding mortar and then around Krishna's waist. She found that the rope was 2 fingers too short. So she brought more rope and tied it to the original rope. It was still 2 fingers too short. She collected more rope, tied that to the original ropes. It was still exactly 2 fingers too short. More rope and more rope until all the rope of her house. And when she went to wrap it around Krishna's waist, it was 2 fingers too short. The neighborhood gopis were having great fun watching this. Yasoda Mai told gopis, bring all the ropes from your houses. And they all started coming with more and more multicolored, beautiful silken ropes. And she tied, there may have been miles of ropes. The amazing siddhanta of this lila is Krishna's belly did not grow at all. It was still only this big. And the rope was growing, 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 growing. But it couldn't go around Krishna's waist. How is that possible? Krishna is the source of all avatars. He's Purnavatar. He's the most complete. He has supreme opulence. Just like Vamanadev. When he wanted to cover the entire universe with his 2 steps, he became Trivikram. Little dwarf Vamanadev, he just grew to an immense size to fulfill that need. But Krishna, he stayed the same size, and yet he was immeasurable. Because ultimately everything is within Krishna. Nothing could be outside of Krishna, so Yashoda Mai couldn't tie that rope outside of Krishna. Such an incredible pastime. The rope was growing, 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 and Krishna was remaining exactly the same size, but the rope could not be turned around him. Our beloved Acharyas explain what those 2 fingers represent. If we want to capture Krishna, we must understand what these 2 fingers represent. The 1st finger represents the devotee's sincere, honest, earnest endeavor to please Krishna. But our endeavor is not enough. But when we endeavor wholeheartedly, honestly, sincerely, then Krishna's pleased, and he bestows what represents the 2nd finger, his mercy. It is only by Krishna's causeless, infinite mercy that he can be known as he is. But that mercy is very much in reciprocation to our honest endeavor. We have a difficult time chanting the holy names. The mind is more difficult to control than the wind, according to Arjuna, and he was more advanced than us. But Krishna says by constant practice we can do it. Every time the mind wanders away from the holy name, if we just endeavor to bring it back, endeavor to guard against the offenses, endeavor to be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. If we just endeavor sincerely in this way, then Krishna will be pleased. Krishna tells us in Gita, for my devotee, for my sincere devotee who's trying to surrender, I preserve what they have and carry what they lack. By Krishna's mercy, we could chant the holy name purely. And then, when we chant the name purely, we conquer Krishna. Krishna's bhaktivatsal. He is a jita, he is a chuta, he is unconquerable, but he is conquered by the love of his devotee. Yashoda Mai endeavored and endeavored and endeavored. Her hair was loosened, her sari was loosened, she was perspiring. at the same time, she was smiling and laughing because this was just incredible. She couldn't get the ropes around Krishna's little belly. It was a festival of ropes. But ultimately, by Krishna's mercy, he was pleased. Krishna allowed himself to be bound by the rope of Yashoda Mai's love. Every morning and evening we are singing Damodarastakam. Satyavrat Muni spoke this beautiful prayer to Narada Muni, Sonaka Rishi, in the Padma Purana. Therein he offers his obeisances to the rope of Yashoda Mai's love, which conquered and bound the unconquerable Sri Krishna. Bhaktya tvananyaya shakya aham evam vidurjana. Krishna tells in Sri Bhagavad Gita that I can only be understood as I am by devotion, by bhakti. Jnanis can study and memorize the scriptures for many, many, many lives, but they can never catch Krishna. The karma yogis can perform vast sacrifices, but they can never catch Krishna. The astanga yogis can gain tremendous powers, but they can never catch Krishna. But the simple, humble, sincere devotion, Krishna is most pleased to be subordinate to be conquered by that love. Sometimes Prabhupada would say that people want to become God, but if you take to Krishna consciousness, you become better than God. How can we become better than God? It is impossible. But Krishna makes us better than him in the sense that he is controlled by the love of his devotee. Yashoda Mai asked Gopal, bring me that wooden platform. And little Gopal goes and with great effort picks up the wooden platform and brings it to his mother. Bring the wooden shoes to Nanda Maharaj. He takes Nanda Maharaj's shoes on his head and carries it to him with great effort. This is the essence of the greatest secret of all the scriptural knowledge. How Krishna is conquered by pure love. Why? Krishna's Madan Mohan. He conquers even Cupid. Sri Radharani is Madan Mohan Mohini. She is the conqueror of Cupid. And what is love? The love of a pure devotee is the blessing of Sri Radharani in our heart. When we surrender to becoming the servant of the servant of the servant of her servants, then she manifests that particle of her love which conquers even Krishna. That is the story of Damodar Lila. Krishna glorifies the path of pure devotion above all others in this most sweet, most relishable, most all-attractive lila. Thus Satyavrat Muni prays that I do not want the eight mystic perfections. I do not want elevation to the heavenly planets, what to speak of the opulences of this world. I do not even want mukti, liberation from all sufferings forever. I do not even ask for eternal residence in Vaikuntha. The spiritual world is an associate of the Lord. The only benediction I pray for is let this beautiful childhood pastimes of Damodar be forever enacted within my heart. It was this benediction that His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada sacrificed his life
to give us and to give the world. To the extent we are genuinely grateful for this gift of love, the highest love that Prabhupada gave us, Krishna will be pleased with us. He has given the prime benediction for all humanity, pure love of God, through the chanting of the holy names. Thank you for so patiently tolerating me. And the reward is you are more hungry, so you can enjoy prasad even better. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.